Right. I think we're there.
Let me make sure I have my ringer on here, just my luck. Nope, it's good to go. All righty. If you would, turn to Ephesians. And let's look in Ephesians chapter 1. We have any questions pertaining to what we've been covering, talking about for the last 2 or 3 months? Anybody? Nobody? Well, I must be very thorough or you're not listening. One of the two. There's no in between there. So, ha ha ha. Okay. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me in verse 3 as the Apostle Paul is writing to these Ephesians. And in verse 3 he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." It's a very profound verse. Really has a lot there, enough to where I've been going on this one verse for now about 2 months plus. And he's referring to the fact that those of us that are in Christ Jesus have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's not a situation of where God will bless you with these spiritual blessings. See, a lot of that is being preached today. It's sort of like, if you do this, God will do that. If you do this, God will provide that. Most everybody, not all, are on Facebook, and you see those kind of things being posted on Facebook, that if you do this, say this many prayers, or do that, God will just pour out blessings for you on 2016, and all these type things. Well, when you get into the Word of God and you start seeing what God has done, and you just let the verse talk to you rather than try to fill it out and put it in this bottle here and the square peg in a round hole there and all that kind of stuff, if you just let it say what it says, you'll have a great appreciation for it. Once again, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Meaning it's a present tense. We possess that right now. "With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we've been going over the spiritual blessings because many people say, you know, what are they? Well, with that said, turn to 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to resume talking about one of them, which we were talking about last week. I don't want to belabor the point here of the word, but I do want you to see and understand what is being told to us concerning a spiritual blessing. You know, a blessing is like a benefit. You're getting the benefit of something. And so these are spiritual benefits that we get through Christ Jesus. Our faith in Christ, God has given us these benefits, these blessings, which are spiritual in nature in Christ Jesus. So one of them I want to point out is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look with me in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Obviously, there's a repeated word there in different forms, and that's reconcile. Whether it's reconciled, past tense, or reconciliation, it's a focus in word for those verses, reconcile. Reconcile has to do with to exchange, to return to favor, like restoring a friendship or harmony between people. It could be countries. In this case, it's between God and man. Restoring harmony, friendship between God and man through reconciliation. Now, it tells us specifically how the reconciliation took place. Verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, by whom? Jesus Christ." So our reconciliation to God was done by Jesus Christ. Now I want to show you something that's interesting. We go to the board here, and I normally mark it this way, with the X representing when Jesus Christ began his ministry, which was at his baptism by John. He carried his ministry out for 3.5 years, and he taught during that time. Now, in his teachings, God has recorded what he wants man to see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are recording his ministry here. It's interesting to note, the Apostle Paul is out on this side. The Apostle Paul got saved, trusted in, believed in the Lord in Acts chapter 9. That began the time that we're living in today, which is called the dispensation of the grace of God. Began with Paul. Paul is addressing the Corinthians about God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now, what's really interesting is this. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's only one time the word reconcile appears. And it has nothing to do with God, Jesus Christ, or you. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll come back to 2 Corinthians if you need to hold it. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, we're just going to read the one verse. We really don't need the context here. It's just the one verse that would help us. This is Christ speaking in Matthew 5, verse 24. "Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." That is the only place in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that the word reconcile appears. Now, why do I point that out? Because, folks, if you don't understand the work of the reconciliation done by Christ, a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist can come before you and instruct you out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and get you to think that there was some type of reconciliation that took place there. They word it like, we need to follow Jesus. So then they'll go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read some scripture about what Jesus said or what he did, and then say, now follow Jesus. And that's how they do this thing. The fact is during the ministry of Jesus Christ, from his baptism here up to the cross, he was not reconciling the world. It isn't till you get to Paul that you see that God was reconciling the world. But where was God reconciling the world? When did that take place exactly? Look in Romans chapter 5. When did that reconciliation take place? Look in Romans chapter 5. Once again, Romans is written by the Apostle Paul. He is our apostle. He is apostle to the Gentiles. And God has ordained him to be the apostle for this dispensation today. So if you want to know how God works in the world today, you have to go from Romans through Philemon. Those 13 epistles explains the entire will and wisdom of God that's being revealed to us today in 13 epistles. That's why we focus in so much on Paul's writings. So in Romans chapter 5, the question that I asked was, well, if we've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, what was it specifically? Because I just said he was not reconciling anybody here in his earthly ministry. By the way, just hypothetically, if he was, it would have been put in one of the Gospels or multiple Gospels that he was reconciling the world. God would not have omitted it, but it's not mentioned there. So we have to go to Paul's writings to find out what exactly did Christ do for us to be reconciled. Look in Romans 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, and here it is, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? It says it right there. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. There was an exchange. There was an exchange. Paul talked about enemies. For if when we were enemies. You see, man's arrogance doesn't ever allow him to come to the humble conclusion that he was ever an enemy of God. Religion tells you you're pretty good. Religion says if you're faithful to go to church, if you believe in God, if you say your prayers, you're a pretty good person. God doesn't look at us like that. He looks at us in a whole different light. He searches the heart. He tries the reins of the heart. He knows that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, it says in Jeremiah 17. So he knows what he's dealing with. So if we're humble enough to recognize who and what we really are, I mean, I'd be willing to bet there's no one sitting in here tonight that if your heart, the thoughts of your heart, were on a DVD and we could play it right now, how many of you would want it played? Everything you think and everything you do. How many of you would want it played? I mean, this is amongst sinful people. So you can imagine a holy God, a righteous God that sees and knows all these things. What did we deserve from him? We deserved his wrath. Enemies get the wrath of their enemy. So God would have been righteous in killing us, destroying us, and wouldn't have to give an apology to anybody. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't mean to kill you. No, he would be just in doing so. He would be just. The beautiful thing about this age of grace is this. Instead of God pouring his wrath out upon us, we had an exchange. You see, folks, you can't be an enemy of God, as the Bible just stated, and be in friendship with God at the same time. You can't do it. You can't be an enemy of God and have harmony with God. You can't do it. So something came between man and God. You're in Romans 5. Look in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, he's talking about one man. One man, sin entered into the world. Can anybody help me who that one man was? Boy, y'all said that like you're mad at him. Y'all got something against Adam? I mean, it wasn't his fault. It was that woman's fault. Ooh. You know, people say that because when God went up to them and they were hiding, they sowed the fig leaves and they're hiding and all this other stuff. God said, Adam, well, what have you done? And he basically said, the woman that thou gavest me made me eat. Preachers say he was blaming the woman. He wasn't blaming the woman. He was blaming God. Had you not given her to me, I'd have been just fine. It's your fault, God. Wasn't God's fault. He looked down and saw that miserable, lonely human being. Said, well, I got something for you. Got a little surgery coming about. Cause Adam to go into a deep sleep, remove a rib, put flesh on it. Adam opened his eyes, and boom, first time he ever saw a woman. That's where he got your name, because he opened his eyes and said, whoa, man. No, I'm just kidding. But it's you. You gave me the woman. So what did Adam do? Sin entered in. How did sin enter in? Did they go out dancing, drinking, partying? The religion side will tell you that. Look in verse 17. I'm sorry, let's go down to verse 19. Verse 19, Romans 5, 19. For as by one man's, who is that? Disobedience, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So he's pointing it back to Adam, Paul is, in this writing. It was disobedience that brought sin into the world. He was disobedient to God. And once sin entered in, it never could get worked out. You can't get sin out of your life. You might can get rid of bad habits that can cause physical problems, emotional problems, monetary problems. But you're not getting sin out of your life. People that live good, live a wholesome life, that's good. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So then, everybody born after Adam is born into this world through that seed with sin in them. God had a masterful plan. God took His seed without sin and implanted it into the Virgin Mary. And out came Christ. So He was not born after Adam. The Bible, a King James Bible, never says that Joseph was the father of Jesus Christ. You get other Bibles, and it says Mary, Jesus' mother, and Joseph, His father. They've corrupted it. The devil wants to corrupt the seed. He's never referred to as Jesus' father. Who is Jesus' father? God Almighty. So Christ came into this world without sin. That lineage was broke, the sin lineage. So consequently, God sees out in the future here, as He looks from, let's just say this is before the foundation of the world, and it was created, Adam goes there, commits sin, man is corrupt. The seed is corrupt. And He looks down, and He looks in this time frame, and everybody in that time frame are enemies of His. That's what Romans 5 says. I didn't say it. Romans 5, you just read it. Consequently, God worked out a plan for us. Before we go to that plan, look in Colossians chapter 1. And this verse in Colossians will reflect back almost copy-wise Romans 5, verse 10 that we read earlier. In Colossians 1, look in verse 20. Colossians 1, And we'll go to verse 20 in Colossians 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. It took death to reconcile us, folks. It took the death of Christ's Son to reconcile us back to God. Most teaching today is if you want to be reconciled to God, you better dress yourself up with good works. You better do good. You better live right. You better do right. Matter of fact, out by us, down two exits down and down the highway, I think it is. I forgot what highway. They have a church actually called the Do Right Church. I was like, no one must attend that church. Because nobody does right. The Do Right Church. Folks, this is the Do Wrong Church. And once you recognize that you've done wrong, you've been cornered. So what do you have? You have the opportunity to trust in Jesus Christ. Because your reconciliation to God is based upon the death of his Son. You see, there was an exchange. That's what reconciled is. There was an exchange. What was it? His sinless Son for the sinners. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look in verse 21. There's a lot of he and hims there, so let's check this out. I'll explain it as we go. For he, that's a reference to God, hath made him a reference to Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'll stir your beans if you think about it for a minute. Here we are, the enemies of God, sinners by nature. Here's our nature right here, born after the nature of Adam. Christ was not born after the nature of Adam. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Well, when did God make him sin? It surely wasn't during his ministry here. It was on the cross. That's where the exchange came. Delivering up the innocent for the wicked, the sinless for the sinners. That's where the exchange came. That's when God was reconciling the world. That's how our reconciliation took place, in that Christ was given up in our behalf by God, so God could get us back to himself. And not only are we just back to God, when you look at the end of that verse 21, it says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You were made in Christ. There was a work that went on. It wasn't just Christ on the cross. It wasn't just Christ being buried. It wasn't just Christ being raised up the third day. Even though that's all true. And by the way, that is the body of work that it took to secure our salvation here. That's the body of work. But also added to it, you want to talk about spiritual blessings? Being reconciled is a pretty good one. But when you look at being reconciled, there was a work that went on, like when you go to work and make something. You make a product. God made something. He made us the righteousness of God in him. So if you've trusted in Christ, right now, as sinful as we are in God's eyes, his righteousness. It's not a wavering thing. Righteousness, if you back the word up, is right. You know what right is? Straight. Straight. You know, God said he's going to take Israel, who was corrupt. Matter of fact, they were called untoward generation. That's crooked. That's perverse. That's what that means. And he said he is going to, this is a future time now. I'm stepping out of this time frame. But it said that he is going to take a plumb bob and hang it to Israel. What does a plumb bob do? It shows you a straight line, exactly, to a wall. If you hung it up there, see if the wall is right, if it's straight. So he's going to hang a plumb bob. He's going to say, I'm going to see whether you're straight with me or not. Well, I want you to know, by faith in Christ, you're right. You're righteous. You have the righteousness of God. You are made that way in Christ Jesus. So, you know, that whole thing about, well, that church teaches that when you trust in Christ, you can go out and commit sin. Well, I don't say that. But I do know this, that if you trust in Christ, you are going to go out and commit sin. This ain't the do-right church. It's a do-wrong church. But it's a church of do-wrongers that need to see what was done by Christ in our behalf so that we can tell others. We can share this truth with others. Because, folks, I'm telling you, you've got an enemy. The devil's the enemy. And he's working overtime not only to corrupt God's Word, but raise up preachers that will corrupt God's Word. And you know what the bait on the hook is for them? Money. Dirty money. Filthy lucre. Men will prostitute themselves out to corrupt God's Word for filthy lucre. Israel was accounted a whore by God. They were God's people, and he said, that's my wife, Israel. And then he divorced them, calling them a whore. What did they do? For money, they went after religion. They went after the pagan gods, and he got a divorce with them. See why you need a Jewish attorney? No, I'm just kidding. But we are, in this case, made the righteousness of God. So if we back up a few verses in 2 Corinthians 5. And like I said, Paul writes a number of times, reconciliation here. In verse 18 again, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or that is to say, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Amen. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Then today, the only ministry any man of God, and I don't care what title he carries, it doesn't matter. If he's a so-called man of God, whether it's pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, there are some that go around calling themselves apostles. Whether he's a priest, whether he's a rabbi, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, any man of God is held to the confines of this word in that the ministry today is one of reconciliation. That's all, that's the only ministry working today. Say, well, that's not a big deal. I just read it. I'm going to show you how it's a big deal. Let's say in this time frame, let's say your birth is here. This X marks your birth, and this X will mark your death. That's your life in there. you at some point come to a point of putting your trust in Christ, believing that He died for your sins, was buried, and raised again the third day. You put your trust in that. Believing that Christ paid for my sins. So we'll let the little cross represent that day that you did that. If you've trusted in Christ, the minister, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist, whoever it was, if you got saved, he was preaching the only correct message today. That is the ministry of reconciliation. Now, if you do not follow up on coming to the knowledge of the truth, as Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God's will is that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you don't follow up with teaching, correct teaching here, you can fall into those that will tell you, well, it's good that you trusted in Christ, but, watch the but, it's always a bad one. But, if you do this, if you do that, or you do the other, there's no way God could have you. You've fallen away. What's a good word they use? You backslide. You're backslidden. You're away from God right now if you do any of those things. Well, I want you to know, folks, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, if that were true, we'd all be backslidden. We're all going to say, do, think, whatever that is contrary to holiness. It's just a fact. I'm not encouraging it. I'm not pushing it. I'm just stating the reality of it. So if a man tells you, or these days a woman, tells you that if you've trusted in Christ and you do some type of sinful practice, that God will have no part of you till you repent, till you walk an aisle, till you confess your sins and get rededicated, you have no hope of going to be with God when you die. The reason why I point out how important the ministry of reconciliation is in this book, first, because it's the only ministry today. And number two, the other ministry says, if you do anything, it'll separate you from God. You could go through this life being a saved individual and never realize the fullness of your salvation. You walk around in what's called ignorance. Doesn't mean you're a stupid person. Ignorance is a lack of understanding of something. I mean, if you need brain surgery, don't call me. I'm ignorant on brain surgery. So if someone tells you that any sin can come between you and God now, get away from their ministry. Don't argue with them. Don't try to turn them. Just leave them. Leave them. Because they have the wrong ministry. It's not the one today. You know how you buy certain things and it's been certified, it's got the stamp of approval? The stamp of God's approval today is the ministry of reconciliation. When that takes place, the reconciliation, you now have and are made the righteousness of God in Christ. You did nothing to do. You had no physical contribution in that work. You see, folks, this is the work. The death of Christ for our sins, the burial, and the exceeding greatness of God's power, Ephesians chapter 1, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's the work that it took so that we could be reconciled and made the righteousness of God. And so to tell, for someone to say, well, it's good that you trusted, but, well, what they're saying is, what worked here, the work that was done here, apparently just isn't good enough. How could it not be? And here's the real deal. If you trusted Christ at this point in time in your life, and it was good for the sins back here, why wouldn't the same cross, the same death, the same blood, the same tomb, the same power of resurrection not be good enough for your sins in the future? I had someone tell me, because you committed those sins on purpose. I commit all my sins on purpose. I'm not walking along and go, whoa, I didn't see that one. We all make that decision. I was talking with a deacon of one of the larger churches in Baton Rouge. And he asked me, he said, Mark, do you think homosexuals could be saved? I went, yeah. There was no gap. There was no Jeopardy music going on. I said, yeah. He did like this. And you're a preacher? I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, how can you say that? I said, because Christ died for their sins. No, Mark, you got this wrong. I said, what do you mean? He said, he didn't die for that sin. I said, how not? I said, did he die for your sins? Well, yeah. Oh, he's good on the yeah there. I said, well, how could he have died for your sins and not the other? Because they're doing those sins on purpose. I said, you do your sins on purpose. Everybody commits sins on purpose. Are you kidding me? There isn't an elevation of sins in this time. God didn't say Christ died for the enemies that weren't real bad, the enemies that were really bad, the good enemy. He didn't rate the enemies. Everybody was an enemy of God. Your favorite preacher, and I'm not even referring to myself. If there's a preacher out there you like to follow, that you highly esteem and love sake for the ministry, the Bible says to do so, he's a sinner. Thank God he's preaching the truth of the Word of God. Through vile lips and corrupt tongues, the truth is going to be spoken by someone. But at least it's the truth. Christ died for all of mankind's sin. If there was one sin that Christ didn't die for, his death would be in vain. God played a hoax on his son, if that's the truth. Can you imagine sending his son to the cross? Because the Bible does say in Romans chapter 8, he delivered his son up. And delivering his son up to die the horrible death that he died? I mean, most Christians today have no clue as to what Christ went through. The Catholics don't know. They see a man on a cross, a mannequin up there with little driplets of blood here, a little bit here, and a little bit running down the head. And he's normally a wavy-haired, blue-eyed Nordic guy. Christ, through Mary, comes from the Canaanites. Might want to check out their race. And they always have the loincloth on him. When he hung up there naked. He always has the beard on him. Shroud of Turin. Boy, that y'all remember when that came out? Oh, that's Christ. That was from his beard. And the guy, you know, you could see the beard. No, it's like, that ain't Christ. Psalm said he plucked out the hairs from his face. And then beat him. Once they platted, give me a minute. Props are always really good. I'm off camera for you that are videoing, and I'll be right back. Once they platted a crown of thorns, and I can't even prove if they were like this, but I can assure you they were similar. a crown of these, and then took the rod and beat it down on his head and tore his physical body up with a whip, a cat of nine tails, to a point where Isaiah said in prophecy to that, his body visage didn't even look like a man. And God is allowing all this to go on for us. And then to have some overpaid, underworked preacher say, well, he didn't die for that sin, is an abomination. Well, if you trust and you go do this, God can't save you. Are you kidding me? And I always wondered, better move this before I hurt myself. So, well, you better behave. I always wondered, why would a man or men, why would they oppose the goodness and the grace of God to say that if you commit sin after trusting in Christ, God can't save you? Why? Huh? What would be in a man to tell you that when that man saying it is no better than the person or people he's addressing? There's evil in the world today, and it ain't in the bars, it ain't in the casinos, it ain't in the whorehouses, it's in churches. And until I heard that when I was first saved and came to a rightly dividing church. And I got to tell you, I was like, Obed, I don't know if you got all this down. Have you been to the casinos and the bars and stuff lately? But once you start seeing the truth of this book, you recognize your adversary. You recognize that dark power and his working. This is the only thing in this world that God has given us. It is the light of his world that shines into dark areas, and that has to do with the devil. And it shows his works. I mean, folks, just like we're going to broadcast a movie here, this book does the same thing to the devil. Why do you think he's tried to destroy the King James Bible? Why do you think he has preachers today that won't use a King James Bible? It's hard to find a preacher on the God channels that uses a King James Bible. Go try it. Check it out. Or if they use it, they'll read a verse and go, but this modern news for modern man or NIV says it this way because this book reveals him. The ministry of reconciliation is the ministry that God has ordained for man to preach today. And it is this fact, that God delivered up his son for his enemies. The exchange was taking place by Christ on the cross. We have been reconciled through the death of his son. And consequently, God exchanged his sinless, obedient son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He could never say that for us. Go check your Bible and find it where he says one time. But once we're in Christ, you know what Paul says? We have been made accepted in the beloved. Well, I know who that beloved is. That's Jesus Christ. So if God's going to accept people today, it's going to only be through his Son and not you living for God. Somebody is pulling the wool over their eyes. And I guess all these years I've kind of come to a realization that people are crazy. No. I mean, let me ask you, why would you want to go to a church and have the preacher look at you like this maybe? I just want you to know that God doesn't reject anybody today. And sit there and lie right to your face. Because he makes me feel good. I like feeling good too. But you know what? The Word of God lets me feel great because it lifted me up with Christ. And I know this life here that we're living, it's miserable. I've had so many people come to me of recent saying this phrase, I'm ready to go. And I am too. I'm ready. Apparently there's a need here for us. So we got to do this work. We got to carry out this ministry of reconciliation as a collective group. And yeah, there's going to be some mortar shells come in. There's going to be bullets flying. The devil's not going to stop. He's going to shoot his fiery darts. But praise God, we got the armor to put on. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about the armor. I mean, I have to go back and reaffirm what God has done for me. Because so much of my life and so many times, my flesh fulfills its lust. Whether it's thoughts or its actions, it fulfills its lust. So it brings me down to the carnal, terrestrial level. So I have to go in this book and see what God has done for me in Christ and read these things. Swallow it and see that it's God that lifts us up. It's God that sustains us. It's God who pronounced that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have to see that for myself. I mean, the preacher is the far one that you would think got it all sewed up. He kind of has a bigger battle than you can recognize. Why? Take him out. Get rid of the preacher. I mean, isn't that what he did? That's what he's done through time. The devil's tried to kill him. They got the Lord. The devil got the Lord. But what the devil didn't know is that the day he celebrated the nails being driven into the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ and hanging that old rugged cross up on Calvary's hill, he didn't know that that was a work where God was reconciling us to himself. The Bible says that God kept that truth a mystery. He didn't reveal it to Christ. He didn't reveal it to the angels. He didn't reveal it to the prophets. He kept it a mystery that Christ was going to the cross and dying for our sins. Because it says in 1 Corinthians that had the devil known that Christ's death was for our sins, guess what he would have done? He would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He would have let him have a happy life. But God hid it. God kept it secret. And it wasn't till God appeared in Acts 9 to this man Saul and gave him that good news of Christ dying for our sins, being buried and raised again the third day. That is God's power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. People talk about power today. Oh, get the power of God. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost going. You ain't got no power if you don't have the gospel. You want power? Here it is. Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again. That simple. That simple. It's the simplicity of the gospel, the Bible calls it. And God does all his work on man by those who will trust in what Christ did in our behalf. Have you trusted? It's up to each one of you. Within yourself, have you trusted? I hope so. Because if you haven't, you have not been reconciled. You need to trust in what Christ did. Because one day, just as sure as this X took place in your life, this X is going to take place in your life. You may know this one by birthday cake, by birth certificate, but we don't know when this one is. If you got breath in your life right now, I would highly recommend that you trust in Jesus Christ right now. No need to think about it. No need to weigh it out. No need to, I'll come back Sunday and hear you preach Sunday and I'll get it all settled then. No. Real quick, kid in his early 20s was here on a Sunday. I preached salvation just about like I'm doing this evening. He came with someone else in the church. They leave out, and I talk to that someone else after church. And so what do you think? He said, oh, he enjoyed it, man. He said, he's coming back next Sunday. I said, well, you think he got saved? I don't think so. He said, he's going to think about it, but he's coming back next week. There was a flatbed wrecker. You know, the wreckers that pick up cars and stuff. Dead on the highway. I mean, not motor not running. I'm talking about electrical and motor dead. It was dark. It was that Sunday night. And he never saw it. And he plowed into the rear end and was killed. You just don't know. His next Sunday never came. Your tomorrow may not come. So there is no reason for anybody to put this off. It is called a free gift. God's handing it out. You can take it by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the work was done for you, so you don't have to do any work to get your salvation. Because you can't do any work to get your salvation. All right, I'm gassed. I'm done. Thank you. Yay.